Okay, this morning I want to continue looking at making the most of our moments. Our life is filled with years, months, days, hours, and minutes, but it's moment by moment. And I want you to, again, as we talked about last week in looking at this, God meets us in moments. The moments, and He's meeting us right now in this moment. This time. So it's careful that we've got to be careful that we don't get so fixated on the future that we fail to receive what God has for us right now. Because I promise you, the stuff that God is doing in you right now is preparing you for what is to come. So we cannot overlook our moments, and there's no moment like the present. So we've got to seize the moment. Listen, opportunities are either coming to you or they're passing by you. Each and every moment. Did you know most people's life regrets come from missed moments, missed opportunities? And unfortunately, too many of us, we think, well, you know, I can do that, but I just need to take care of this and this first, and then I'll start doing this, you know. I won't ask you to raise your hand how many of you have already crashed and burned concerning your New Year's resolutions, you know. Yeah. Consider that what may be done at any time will be done at no time. That's our attitude. Well, this could be done any time. Yeah, you got to learn to utilize your moments. Excuses will always be there for you, isn't that right? But opportunities won't, and you may miss your moment. So in making the most of our moments, here's the thing. We've got to be sensitive to God at work in our lives. So this morning, I just want to go back over the foundations, because if the foundations be destroyed, we're in trouble. What will the righteous do? So, the foundation that I first want us to look at is that we need to understand in not missing our moments is because God speaks to us in moments. You understand that God's Word and God's Holy Spirit always agree. The Word and the Spirit, they always agree. They never contradict. Now, how many times I've been, well, the Holy Spirit is telling me, no, you realize that the Word says this here, this is totally contradicting what you're saying. Well, I'm just going to go, okay, go for it, live and learn. 1 John chapter 5 says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They're united. They're in agreement. Okay? Jesus said in John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit who has now come, He will guide you into all the truth. There is truth today, regardless of what the culture around us says. For He will not speak on His own. In other words, He's not just going to make up stuff as He wills. He says, but He will speak whatever He hears in agreement with the Father and the Son. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because He will take from what is mine and declare it, reveal it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that He takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. You will know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you because it will agree with God's Word. Okay? The next foundation we look at is that we are called, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to live by faith. Faith is not believing in something that you can't see or you don't know. This blind leap of faith is not biblical faith. Faith is knowing of a certainty that thus says the Lord, that God has spoken, and you act on that. That is faith. It's never a blind leap. You may not know the outcome, but I know the one who spoke to me, and I trust Him. Faith is believing and acting on God's word despite what things look like around you or how you feel about it. Feeling has nothing. I just feel like I got faith. No, faith isn't a feeling. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Behold the proud." Look at the person who's all wrapped up in himself, his pride, his ego. Can't ever admit that they're wrong. "Behold the proud, his soul." Now the soul is your mind, your thinking. It's your will to do. I will pick up this piece of paper. I will do this. I will invest there. Whatever it is. And your emotions. He says, "Behold, his soul is not upright in him." It's all wrong. "But the just," those justified before God, "shall live by his faith." Listen to me. One of the biggest hindrances to living in faith is our pride. We're so concerned about our image. And some of the biggest idols that people have in their life is their own image. What do people think when they see me, when they hear me? I tried to make a statement today. My family mocks me because I usually wear these polo casual pants and I don't dress in blue jeans and a sweatshirt. But hey, it's cold outside. But living by faith is day by day. It's just not when you get dressed up to do special things, come to church, whatever. It's just your daily life. We're called in. So that's what I want us to begin to focus on as we narrow the funnel down, is that we're every day, every moment, you have an opportunity to cooperate with God. I've spent too many years where I understand, but I end up stiff-arming God and then wonder why things blow up. God, why? Where are you? It wasn't me. You're the one who's saying, "Now, God, wait a minute. Let's think this through. And maybe, you know, what are people going to think about me if I do that?" See, my own image becomes my God. I serve it instead of the living God. Paul didn't let pride negate the word in his life. He said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed." I'm not going to let what the world around me says about the gospel, the word of God. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Because he understood something. There's something worth humbling yourself, bowing down before. Because it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God for salvation. Now think of that. It's God's help, spirit, soul, and body. Everything you need. Not just going to heaven. It includes that. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Moving on up in faith. As it is written, the just, and he quotes here from Habakkuk chapter 2, the just shall live by faith. Now, so faith is doing what God says in his word. It's what God speaks that God's not always just going to speak to you scripture. I mean, he will talk to you like a normal human being and not old King James English. But even in that, you have to understand, when God speaks to you, your heart, you need to confirm it by the word. Okay? You honor the Lord when you do that. But we need to understand that a person can be strong in faith and a person can be weak in faith. You know how many times Jesus told even his own disciples, "Oh, you of little faith." you didn't get a desired result because you had little bitty, bitty, tiny baby faith. Well, what happened to the grain of mustard seed? Yes, but you understand, believing God, trusting God, it doesn't take much. You just got, okay, I don't understand everything about this, and I don't know why you want me to do this, but you said to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Can I be honest with you just for a moment? I'm standing here, we're worshiping, and they're singing the next to the last song. One of the lines is something about healing. There's healing in your name. Healing in your name. Okay. And so I'm wrestling because I seriously thought about stepping forward in that moment and doing what we did later. But I have this thing, Lord, I feel like there's too much of me in this moment right now. I hear what you're saying and I want to obey. But Lord, this is not about me. I don't want it to be about me. And so, Lord, would you allow me just to deal with my own, let me deal with my own flesh, and then we'll strike. And I felt like the Lord gave me permission to do that. Sometimes you got to do it regardless. You just move. So I just began declaring Jesus is Lord, continuing to worship, come forward, standing here. All right, Lord, and I took time. I looked out over the congregation. Lord, is this what you want to do right now? Yes. So we move. And praise God that he is faithful. But listen, a person can be weak in faith. A person can be strong in faith. There were different times he told people, and sometimes they weren't even, in his day, weren't even Jewish people, a Roman soldier. He turned to his disciples and said, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel. Because this guy said, I understand something about authority. We covered this yesterday in our men's meeting downstairs with Joe that, you know, I tell somebody to go, he goes. I tell somebody to come, come. I've got people over me. I've got people under me. And all you need to do, Jesus, is just say the word. And I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus is, I haven't seen any of faith like this in all of Israel. And Jesus told him, go, your servant will be healed. And he was. So we can be strong in faith or weak in faith. Abraham, the father of our faith, in Romans chapter 4, it speaks about the time when God came to him, and he's 100 years old, his wife is 75, and you know, well past, even in that day, childbearing years. And God said, you're going to have a son. And so it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Lord, I'm 100 and things aren't working like they used to. And you're saying I'm going to have a child. So, but still, without considering even his own situation, he looked, it says, he looked at his own body, now good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. All right? Menopause came and passed a long time ago for her. And, you know, we're going to have a son. Okay. But still, in spite of all that, without letting it deter his faith, without becoming weak in faith, even looking at the situation, it says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. But notice this. He sure could have. I mean, this is amazing. This is, we're going to have a baby. He did not waver in unbelief, but notice this, grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Okay, so this is how we become strong in faith. Okay, God, it's not me, because it ain't happening through me. It's you. And it says, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. God, what medical science says can't be done, I believe you can do. It's important that we also understand that how faith comes to us isn't the same way that we become strong in faith. Okay, Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear the message about Jesus and all that he does, the promises of God, but that's how faith comes. But faith then doesn't necessarily grow. Okay, you can have a package of flower seeds or grow corn, I don't care, whatever you got. But seed in a package will not do you any good, will it? I mean, I don't know if you like to suck on those things, whatever, a little salt. Doesn't do you anything. You've got to act on planting the seed, watering the seed, so forth, before it'll grow. So there's something else that has, faith comes by hearing, but faith must be exercised. And this happens when we put the word that we've heard into action. Now, let's cover the verses we covered last week, because this is the foundation. This is what got us into the kingdom of God by faith, and this is how we live by faith. It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks. It says something. It speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. We need help from heaven. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does this righteousness of faith speak? What does it say? It says the word, God's word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Again, that's communicating something, saying something. That if you confess, say, with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Or we can also include that right things, right ways. And with the mouth, confession is made, it speaks, is made unto salvation, the help that we need. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it is written, he's quoting from the Old Testament scripture, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You want to know where you're at in your walk with the Lord? What are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth in the moments of your day? Because that's what's in your heart. If it's filled with profanity, if it's filled with doubt and unbelief, I just don't know how we're going to make it. I just don't know what we're going to do. Oh, woe is us, you know. You keep going on and on. You got to get that out of your heart. It's time to get into God's word and put God's word into your heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, it is thy word, your word, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why? Because the psalmist knew when the pressures of life come and they begin to squeeze you, whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. In times of pressure, you want God's word, God's help, his salvation, help from heaven coming out of your mouth in those moments. Not the worst of you. So does pressure bring out the worst in you? Or does it bring out the message, the righteousness of faith, the word of God speaking out of you? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we live by faith and not by sight. We don't rely. When God's word contradicts what we see and what we feel, we go with God's word. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm going to kind of pick it up in the middle of his thought there. He said, Christ lives in me. Jesus lives in me. That's a reality. That's a fact. And Jesus still speaks today. He still does stuff today. He says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God's not done with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. And there's some areas of life he wants to resurrect. Some things he may want you to start over again. But that's okay. How many of you could would like a do-over in some areas of your life? Yeah. It starts now. No, you can't go back and change the past, but you can start now. Genuine faith, again, which is to act confidently based on what God is speaking to you, whether by His Word or by His Holy Spirit who lives in you. But again, remember, the Holy Spirit will never tell you anything to do or say anything that contradicts the Bible. They agree. The good news is, though, that your faith can grow. Thessalonians chapter 1 says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more." But there's something that goes with that, because he continues and says, "And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Faith works by love." So if you're walking in faith, you're also walking in love. Exercising and growing your faith can be done by engaging. Now we're narrowing down little moments together. And when we gather together like this, we can exercise and our faith can be increased when we come together. You know, in the Bible, from the beginning of the Bible all the way through to the book of Revelation, you'll find mentions of incense burning in the tabernacle, incense in heaven. And these always represent the prayer and worship. Okay? It's used in Scripture primarily to describe prayer and worship. And so it's important when we look at when we come together and prayer and worship, that there's instruction concerning that Moses gave concerning the formulas for incense used in the tabernacle. I want you to notice what it says in Exodus chapter 30, verse 35. They're building this tent, this tabernacle for the Lord, and they're going to have incense in it, and nobody's supposed to copy it, this particular formula. But he says, "Make incense as a person who makes perfume would do." Now notice this carefully. And he says you're to add salt to it to keep it pure and holy. Now, before you just think, oh yeah, that's what, in the old days, that's what they did. They used salt to preserve things. No. Salt in Scripture is a type of the Word of God. Have you ever looked at salt? Did you know if you take salt just from your shaker, sprinkle a little bit out, provided it's not been damaged, and you take a magnifying glass and look at it, salt is little tiny cubes. They're cubes. And this cube, four square, represents the Word of God, that it's complete. It's whole. And it makes whole. And so he says, you're to add salt to it to keep it pure and holy. Now, let me just say a quick word about this, because I've lived longer than most of you, and I've been around the block a few times. Let me just tell you right now, when people spend more time in prayer and or worship, when they spend more time there than they do in the Word, too often they get goofy. And the focus of what they're doing slowly but surely moves away from Jesus to themselves. Prayer and worship are to be the outflow from what we have received from God's Word. We pray according to what the Word says. We worship. Our worship expression is to be based upon God's Word. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that right now. But I want to go back to this thing about salt, because whenever it comes to worship in Leviticus chapter 2, see, it's very easy in these passages, these books of the Bible that we don't like to read, because on and on, droning on about this, that, and the other, okay, in the tabernacle. But you can learn a lot for today in this. In Leviticus chapter 2, it says, "In every offering of your grain offerings, you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. And he concludes with this: with all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Okay, what does this mean? Again, are we talking about, okay, I'm bringing my salt shaker to church next Sunday. Put it in, no. Again, salt being a type of the word. It means that you're to give is an act of faith. And what is faith? It is doing what the word says. This is why more times than not, right before we receive offering, I will share with you a passage of scripture, giving you opportunity to hook up, add salt to the act of giving. I believe your word, Lord. I believe that you, who were rich, became poor for my sake, that I might be made rich because of your sacrifice. So when you give, not just even when we come together, but at any time you're going to give somebody something, add salt. Lord, I'm doing this because your word says, and ask God, God, give me a word. Speak to my heart. Show me in your word where you want me to hook up with that will be the salt. What I'm believing, what I'm standing on, in my act of faith because of your word says this. Do I need to go further? Are you kind of tracking with me a little bit here? Okay. All right. Because I got a whole message, a whole other message on this. And not this morning. Okay. All right. Yeah. Another time. Exercising your faith, growing your faith can be done throughout your day. You know, again, people filled with the Spirit. Every time you read somebody in Scripture that somebody's filled with the Spirit, Old Testament, New Testament, they spoke, they said something. Okay? So people who are filled with the Spirit, people who live by faith, they speak. They say certain things in agreement with God's word. So very quickly, let's look at some quick examples of how believers should speak. Well, again, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, your speech, the things you say, should always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Oh, here we go again. Back to the salt thing. Seasoned with salt. Now, this doesn't mean that everything you say must be scripture, but everything you say should be rooted from and flow out of Scripture. In other words, I can honestly stand before you, and some of you I know better than others. Some of you, maybe we've never met yet, but I can tell you this, I love you. If you're a brother and sister in Christ, I love you. Not just because Jesus commands me to love you, but see, I say that based upon God's word, that we're to love one another. And so love is not just a feeling that I have. I may have no feelings one way or another towards you at this point because we really don't know each other. But I can do what God has told me to do in your behalf. And that's love. Jesus did what the Father said. He came and gave him his life as a sacrifice. He acted upon it as an act of love. He says, so that you may know how to answer, you should answer each person. Mark chapter 9, verse 50, Jesus said this, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Well, he's going to tell us. He says, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Okay, now, how do we have salt in ourselves? Well, first of all, let me just say, how does salt lose its effectiveness? The word in us, we're going to be salty people. And if we've lost our saltiness, well, you know what it is. It's sometimes it's people that they're wearing all kinds of Christian paraphernalia, their hats, and Jesus loves you, and you know all the different things that they put on the outside. But everything they say and everything they do, just think, are you really a Christian? You know what I'm saying? They've lost their saltiness, or maybe they never had it, but anyway, we're going to find out. Well, you can lose it this way, okay? So what we say throughout our day, in the moments of our life, is important. How do we lose the salt, the word, its effectiveness, its ability to penetrate lives? How does it lose its effectiveness? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, do not let, you don't let, meaning you can't control what you say. You don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And there's people around you listening that you don't think are. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Again, these are internal things, because out of what's on the inside, come out of your mouth. Rage, anger, brawling, slander. Sometimes I think we should slow down to define these things, so I'll just start right here. Slander, that's verbal abuse. Verbal abuse. Along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. How do we re-season the salt, the word in us? Well, Colossians 3, beginning of verse 16, says, let the word of Christ live in you, fill your life richly. As you teach, again, you're speaking something, and admonish. Admonish is to counsel and correct. It's, again, one another with all wisdom, and as you sing. Again, something coming out of your mouth. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word, the things you say, or what you do, deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, I know we deal with people around us who are just seem to be impossible people. And there's times I pray, God, do you really want me to punch them in the mouth right now? Because if you really want me to do that, I'd be happy to. I mean, just pow. And they wouldn't even see it coming, you know? And that would be better than what they deserve. How do you know what I'm talking about? You know, you just got those kind of people in your life, you know, just, ugh. No, you don't want me to do that. Okay. All right, God, what do you want me to do? This starts the thing. See, you have not because you ask not. God, how do you want me to treat and deal with this difficult person? Most of us want a miracle. We want God just to zap them and either blow them up, take them home, or make them change. But maybe God wants us to hone our skills, as it were, in dealing with difficult people who need Jesus. Yes, they're a pain and you know where, but you know what? Jesus took our pains, the pains that we caused him. He took our sin, took it all upon himself. And he's not calling us to do what he did in the same way, but he's calling us to love people enough to care for their soul and to do what we can for them. And sometimes, to start out with, you can't do much, but you can stop doing other certain things that are not good for you. Okay? All right, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, the moment of our life, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. By the way, this is the verse that we got the name of our church from. And there's another way to exercise, and I want to end with this, is to exercise your faith, because exercising your faith causes it to grow. Just hearing the word and having faith, you know, Paul was preaching at a town called Lystra, and he's preaching. He perceived a guy there who had been lame in his feet. He'd never walked. He perceived that he had faith to be healed, but he wasn't healed, even though he had faith to be healed. He's still lame sitting there until Paul said, you, sir, stand upright on your feet. It says the guy got up and leapt and was walking, which created chaos in Lystra. The gods had come down, you know, in the form of men. Anyway, read it, Acts chapter 14, I think. Anyway, you'll find it in there. It's a cool story. Our faith grows. We exercise it. So this is something that only you can do and only you will know if you're doing. And that is working on honesty, being true, willing to recognize the truth about yourself and where you're at on the inside. Because only you know what's going on the inside. Well, you and the Lord know what's going on the inside of you at any given moment. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus says this. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside of a person can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out by what you say and what you do that makes him unclean." And after he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. And, "Are you guys so dull? You don't get it? Don't you see that nothing enters the man from the outside can make him unclean? Because it doesn't go into his heart. What you eat and drink is not going into the real you on the inside, where you think and you process stuff. It doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. And this Jesus declared, all food's clean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance. Let me just stop right here just for a moment. Arrogance is pride personified. Again, your pride will hinder the working of faith in your life. And folly. Oh, I'd like to take a few moments with folly, but I don't have it. So all of these evils come from inside, and that's what makes a person unclean. One of the most deceptive beliefs is that today is not important. Oh, this little moment here that I'm thinking about, this, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What you entertain in your heart and mind, it matters. Every day comes to us bearing gifts. Untie the bow and open it. Open it up. Life is made up of constant calls to action. Everything big starts with something small. Always. And God is in the little things, the moments of our lives, and what we're doing with those moments. Don't underestimate, don't despise where you are and what you're doing right now in any given moment, because God always starts where you are. Every time, always. It's how He takes you from where you are to where you need to be. It starts in a moment of time. And when we are willing to recognize that God speaks to us in moments, and we begin to honor those moments, that's when God becomes more real in your life. Some of you are here today because you're not certain if God is real. I mean, yeah, there's a creator. You've got to look around and just... You know, science is even starting to acknowledge that. Used to be for last hundred years or so, materialism. No, we only deal with what we can see and feel, the material world. But science is starting to prove that there's something beyond the material world. Starting to recognize that. Times are changing. People will be slow to adapt, but that's okay. There is a God. But God, maybe even as a believer, may not seem very real in your heart and life right now. But the choice is yours. God exists. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, He exists, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. So in the moments of your life, as you say, "God, meet me in my moments. I want you." Then the reality and the preciousness and the nearness of the Lord in your life begins to increase and strengthen. That's what God wants for you. That's what I want for you. Let's all stand as we wrap up.